This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hello, everybody. This is going to be difficult Friday. Welcome on into the show today. I have a very severe cold and a bad voice, so we're going to struggle through it. We're going to hopefully lube this baby up. I got the warm tea and the honey coming here on this Friday the 13th. You believe it, Friday the 13th, day before Valentine's Day. Your defending father's trucker, Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Man, frog voice, unbelievable. Got a great show lined up for you, though. We've got guests coming on. Thank God they'll be doing most of the speaking. And a history lesson in the second hour with Pastor Chatfield. What was the cause of World War I? Going to be very interesting. Also, we've got breaking news in the third hour. Kevin Kievsky, very much in the running for Attorney General. Well, he's got a big story to break on with us on the third hour. So we're going to get going into this. The budget process, talked about it yesterday. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, $88 billion budget proposal. Well, guess what? Matt Hall and the Republicans, like I predicted, not buying any of it. And this is interesting because the governor wants to tap into the rainy day fund. Well, looking at this story, it's going to be a battle in Lansing. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's decision in her final budget negotiation process to tap into the state's rainy day fund follows somewhat of a pattern set by her predecessors. Former Governor James Blanchard, former Governor John Engler, and now Whitmer. Three of the last five all generally worked to bolster the so-called budget stabilization fund. Through the majority of their tenures, before actually drawing from it on their way out the door, and in doing so, leaving the fund not as flush for their successors. Blanchard had whittled the BSF down to just $20 million in his last budget he negotiated. Engler sapped the savings completely down to zero by the time he left office. Whitmer has proposed a $400 million withdrawal, which is, while significant, would represent more of a dent into the balance. Right now, according to the Whitmer administration, the Rainy Day Fund currently sits at $2.2 billion. In any case, drawing down the state savings account before leaving office presents a challenge. for whoever takes the office next. Seeing as the BSF Fund was established in 1977, it's the state's main mechanism to fill budget holes in the event of an unforeseen emergency or a recession. The importance of the Rainy Day Fund means that withdrawals aren't taken lightly, and that doing so typically raises a tough question. Is it justified? Well, we're going to continue this. Bottom of this half hour, we've got an interview coming up with Justin Michael. He's a candidate running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District, and we've got a whole lot more to talk about on this Rainy Day Fund withdrawal. We're going to take a short break, word from our sponsors. I'm going to go get my warm tea and honey. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. I'm struggling with a very bad cold this morning, but we're going to get things going anyway. Justin Michael is on the line with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing, bud? Sound a little under the weather.
No, it's just my voice. I feel good. I got exposed to some cold weather without a jacket, and sure enough, you get a cold instantly. So, But I got a really good night's sleep. My voice is hopefully going to loosen up here during the show. But Justin, a couple of things I did want to get your opinion on. The SAVE Act, I don't understand why the Democrats are so against it. I mean, this thing polls at like 80% Republicans, 70% Democrats. What's wrong with people proving that they're a U.S. citizen in order to vote?
You know, Randy, that's really tough. I don't have an argument for that either. I know I'm going to have to create some space on that tonight as I am going to be debating the Democrats in Otsego County in Gaylord at 6 p.m. this evening. So if any of your listeners are out there and want to be in Gaylord at the Otsego County Library, 6 p.m., I'll be facing off and squaring off against the Democrat candidates running for Congress in our district. I don't have a good answer on their argument for that. I think that the SAVE Act is extremely important to our democracy and in our constitutional republic and how we handle things. I mean, you have to have a driver's license to open a bank. You have to have identification to board a plane, but you don't have to verify that you are a U.S. citizen to vote. And that's a serious concern.
Well, and the other point of it, Justin, is the fact that they claim that this is all about voter suppression. How is it voter suppression when our Constitution says only citizens can vote? And the other question, everybody says, well, this is just because they want to inflate the population for the next upcoming census to see if they can maintain or even expand the number of seats they have in Congress. That's not fair.
Right. Well, it's not fair, Randy. And I think the other thing that we're looking at is that when they use the argument of voter suppression, they're trying to say that people that are living in areas that are economically oppressed don't have the means to go out and get public identification, or they don't have the wherewithal or the knowledge on how to go and get some form of government issued ID. And that argument to me is crazy, considering the fact that you can't do anything in America without identification.
You're right. Nothing. Right. Yeah.
You can't apply for benefits. You can't apply for a job. You can't apply for a bank account. You can't. It doesn't make any sense. The argument doesn't make any sense. And it's kind of degrading to people that are Democrats, because essentially your party's telling you you're not smart enough to go get an ID, or you're not capable of going and getting government issued ID.
Right, right.
You can't get a cell phone without identification. So
exactly.
You know, you're looking at these things and you're asking yourself, I would understand if there was deliberate suppression, because we want able-bodied Americans to be able to participate in our elections. That's our constitutional right as citizens of this country.
Sure.
But that argument doesn't hold any weight. It doesn't make sense in the 21st century. Everybody has an ID.
Right. Now, let me ask you this question. Who's hosting this debate tonight, and is the current congressman going to be there?
To answer your second question, no, he is not. I'm actually currently in Marquette. I came up here last night in support of Dave Preston. He had a fundraiser event that I attended. And I'll be leaving Marquette here shortly to drive to Gaylord for that. And I know for certain he's been invited, and there were some people that brought it up to his attention in person in Washington, D.C. earlier this week as a way to say, hey, your opponent is showing up face-to-face with the Democrats having these discussions that are really important to our district. Are you going to be in attendance? And both him and the staffers apparently shrugged it off like it was nothing. We've heard rumors in their camp that he doesn't feel that he needs to debate or show up because he's winning in his eyes, and that it's irrelevant. So I don't think he'll be in attendance for any of them. I have registered with them them being indivisible. So the Project Indivisible is a left-leaning organization throughout our state, although they claim neutrality. They organize a lot of the protests throughout our district. I will say this about them. I'm going to give them credit where credit's due. They have organized 11 so far public forums where they have invited congressional candidates on both sides and the independents to be able to have public forums where the public can ask questions. And they're holding it as in much neutrality as they possibly can. They haven't seen, or I have yet to see, any inherent bias in their positioning or structure of the events, the rules of how they're going to conduct the forum. Looks very fair and non-biased. So I want to give them credit for, one, taking the time to reach out to different organizations in the communities and to be able to host these events at sites, because I know that, you know, getting some of the press releases out there and getting the emails out there and organizing these events can be difficult. So first and foremost, I think that that's amazing on their part to go out and do that.
Yeah.
Because on our side of the table, we're not doing that. So
now, has any of the county Republican parties, first district, anybody lined up a debate between you and the congressman?
No. And there have been talks, rumors, whispers in the breeze, I guess, about doing that, but that hasn't happened. And, you know, the opportunity came up. They've been very forthcoming about it and extremely excited about the opportunity. And I'll say this, every single one of the chairs of their organization in different places, I mean, we're going in northern lower Michigan, we'll be all throughout the UP. I mean, March, there's 7 days in a row that I have events all through. I mean, we're talking Ironwood, we're talking Iron Mountain, we're talking Menominee, Houghton, the Sioux. You know, there's a lot of Marquette. There are a lot of places that we're going to be. Escanaba, I think we also have one. So, you know, you're looking at those. We're covering a lot of ground and a lot of territory by going to these things. But I wanted to be the voice of the Republican Party. A lot of the people who will be in attendance at these places will have never heard our side of the argument aside from what they hear on mainstream media news or in their algorithms on their social media. And you know that that's not positive. So I think this gives a unique opportunity for me to step up as a Republican candidate and show that we have a good platform, that we have good values, that we care about people. We're not the fascists that they claim us to be, and we're out there trying to do things. Now, I can't speak on behalf of what the current congressman's doing and his policies and his positions and his values. I don't see him or speak to him enough to know what those are. All I can do is represent the Republican Party as best as I can, and I want to do that in front of people who maybe haven't had the opportunity to hear that side of our party or see what future representation on the Republican side can look like.
Well, so, and that's the main point, is you being the next congressman versus the current congressman, this will give them an opportunity to see perhaps you're willing to show up, debate, talk, you know, listen to what they say, but at the same time, I hope they'll listen to you without booing or, you know, kind of, you know.
Well, and in the rules, they've done a, yeah, in the rules, they've done a great job of saying if people act out of line, you get one warning and then you're removed. And I thought that those were very stern positions.
Well, that's a good thing, you know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hope that my hope is that they create a neutral space for us to be able to express what we think and how we feel about certain topics and positions. I know that a lot of the questions, because they're coming from the audience, or some of them are coming from the audience, are going to be targeted at the current administration and how things are being handled. And rightfully so, right? It would be the other way around if they were in power. But I'm hoping that the moderator does a good job of focusing on a neutrality-based question system that is functional and allows us to not frame questions in a way that could be demonizing to me being a Republican and being there. But I'm not
kind of being
it.
Gotcha, yeah. Questions, basically.
Yeah, right. And to be honest with you, there aren't really any gotcha questions. I'm not really concerned about that. I, as someone who's not in office right now, currently, I can't speak to what's going on in office. One, I'm not privy to the information. that they're getting all the time, whether it's through security briefs or you know, behind the closed door channel conversations that they're having to navigate the current space in Congress. But you know, one of the things that I can do is just say, listen, I'm not running because I think that the government's doing well. I'm running because I don't think the government is doing well. So, you know, I'm here to make changes and differences, and I hope they want to listen to that. And I hope that they embrace at least the fact that I am willing to come and have those discussions.
Right. Absolutely.
That I'm not afraid of some backlash that I may get because I'm a Republican. It's okay. Well, we can agree to disagree.
Well, one tip I can offer is if they ask a gotcha question, like, for example, Second Amendment or whatever, obviously that's directed at you to be for it and all of the other ones against it. Just, you know, basically, I think a perfect response is, you know, did you ask me that question to, you know, want to know where I really stand in my philosophy, or is this a gotcha question? Kind of divert it, throw it back on them, and let the moderators have to actually say, no, we're absolutely serious, and we'll ask the audience to allow you to speak, you know, because you're very strong on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, and listen, I'll defend that till I'm blue in the face, pun intended.
Yep.
But,
yeah.
You know, I want them to know that as a Republican, I stand on certain values, and like the Second Amendment, I will die on that hill, because it's without the Second Amendment, none of the other amendments matter. And we're seeing that in other countries too. So if they are going to try to establish those questions, it's going to be very difficult. And, you know, the Second Amendment question, I don't think is going to come up too much in the first district, mainly because we have such a large population of people that are outdoorsmen that own firearms on both sides of the aisle. And I think you come into an area where you're starting to encroach on people's culture, and people are like, oh, gun culture, you know, it's dangerous. You know, that counter argument always comes. I'm like, listen, people are using guns in northern Michigan to go hunt or, you know, shoot, trap, and skeet, or go to the gun range with their family or for personal protection.
Sure.
It's, you know, we're not violent people in the north. If you look at our crime rates in northern Michigan, it's not mass homicides. They happen, but they're few and far between, right? And you're looking at what people use firearms for. We're probably in terms of guns per home, we're probably one of the safest places in America.
Right.
especially, I mean, if you want to bring up the Second Amendment argument, it's like, right. for how many guns are in northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula per capita in the homes, we're probably one of the safest places on earth.
Yeah,
in terms of a relative crime to gun ownership. So, yeah, that would be a really tough one.
Question. Hey, on your website for your campaign, do you have a list of your events? I just got a text message. People want to look at the website.
Yeah, so we're putting that together as having like a standard events page. As things start coming in, we want to build a platform so it's interactive, so people can come in and even RSVP or like, hey, we're going to support you. And that I haven't put it up yet because a lot of those events are being thrown at me right now.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people haven't been proactive in scheduling the events. So we have a lot of events on the calendar. We just haven't put that up, but we will. So please check back to the website and I'll make a release on that when it happens.
Okay. And go to the Otsego Public Library tonight at 6 o'clock and support Justin.
Six o'clock.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, please.
Six o'clock.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day. Yeah,
you
God
too,
bless.
Buddy.